Now, a little later on, after as we cross back to the Lake House Nursing Home, Don Fanny, we're going to be making a presentation, which is a wonderful hamper and also an envelope containing a donation to the Residents Comfort Fund. So we'll tell you about that a little later on. But just before we cross back, Nellie McElhenney in the Lake House Nursing Home in Dunfanaghy. She was 100 a few weeks ago from, excuse me, from her niece Kathleen, Huey and family in Falkara. Happy Christmas to you all. Please play a very special request for Bridie Gallagher's sister Maggie Curran, who's in the Lake House, and to all the residents and staff who do a wonderful job. And that comes in from Maggie Curran's family. Did you know that as you were singing Bridie Gallagher, Sinead, I wonder?
Did you not see me sweating, Greg?
I was thinking you were under the pressure there.
I was.
Well done. Well, it didn't come across as such. Well done on a great show from Sinead and Tommy in the Lake House today, from Margaret and Seamus Cole from Funcara. Lots of people saying fantastic, Sinead, for the singing, and Tommy as well for the presentation. We have an aunt who is 105 in July, Sudie Doherty, who's in the Lake House, wishing her a very, very happy Christmas from Mae McFadden and her family in Rye, Rathmullen. Okay, so who are we speaking to next,
Back
Tommy?
To Jennifer. Jennifer.
Yeah. I just want to take this opportunity to thank, of course, Highland Radio for coming, but also to wish our own residents here a very, very happy Christmas. So we'll just give the residents themselves a big round of applause. And then, of course, the wonderful team. My name might be the lead, but believe you me, it's not just me. I just want to say a big, big thank you and a very happy Christmas to every single one of the staff here in the Lake House. It wouldn't be the Lake House it is without them, so thank you.
And I hope you can hear me, but how big of an operation is Christmas dinner? Because I don't know how many turkeys you have to buy and all the stuffing and the ham and the everything else.
Christmas dinner is a big ordeal. We all sit down to set up table with wine and the wee sherry in the evening. And then there's a drinks trolley that goes around in the afternoon. So night shift on Christmas night can be quite funny.
Did you hear that?
Or it could be quite calm as well, I suppose, as if everyone is...
What time?
Read me down.
We break the shifts up so that the staff can get home for part of their day with their families. But there is some staff, and very young staff, that offer to do the full day on Christmas Day. So it's just incredible to have staff that we have. So
that really is an amazing point, because you do have to have staff there on duty all of the time. Sorry, Sinead, back to you or Tommy.
Yes, Sinead wants to talk to a lady here, and I'm going to let her talk, because she doesn't know the words in the next song and she had to get help.
Tommy, you weren't supposed to say that on air. No, Greg, I just... of course, Karen, as we're spreading Christmas cheer as well, most definitely, I want to speak to Geraldine, because Geraldine and indeed her mum, who's in here sometimes, are activities coordinators. And I just wanted to speak to you, Geraldine, maybe for people who don't be in nursing homes as much, I just think it's lovely. I suppose I get a little bit of an insight, so I wanted to just share it with our listeners today, the activities that goes on in nursing homes. So can you just give us a quick little rundown on that?
The main thing really is it passes the day for everyone, and we have a lot of very good bingo players here in the Lake House Nursing Home. It wouldn't be a day without a game of bingo, but there's so much more. We do art. I'm sure you've noticed when you come in today.
Yeah, I've
all the residents, they're so talented, especially Joe McGee, actually, that you spoke to. He's a great artist. They do lots of different activities. We have some golfers in the house, so next on the agenda, I was thinking of doing a pitch and putt competition. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be a bit of fun, but it's just something that passes the day and brings joy and fun to the Lake House, you know.
Yeah, and they also, Greg, the ladies here, as you see, look and lovely today, often get their hair done, nails done, and I just think it's lovely to give listeners an insight of what really goes on, and insight with activities and the care and the fun and the joy that that these staff are spreading. And with that, we might just make the little presentation now, and we hope that you enjoy this lovely hamper and indeed the little small contribution that we'll be making to the Comfort Fund. So we hope that you have a lovely time and do something well with that. Will we do that now, Greg, if that's okay with you?
Yes, of course, go ahead. And just to remind people as to what's facilitating that, we had a listener who wanted to make a donation. They want to remain anonymous, but it's facilitated us visiting a number of nursing homes this week. We're back out on the road tomorrow, of course. So as we speak, Sinead is handing over this hamper, and your biceps are going to be huge by the end of this week, Sinead, because it's very, very generous. And also, the lovely envelope too, with a contribution to the Comfort Fund, and it's been handed over there now. Fair play. It looks lovely.
Thank you, Greg. Absolutely. They were laughing at me. I was saying that this hamper is bigger than me. So to that listener who donated this, I think it's a lovely gesture. So great. To Jennifer, to you, and to all your staff. What about giving that listener a lovely round of applause, everybody? Thank you very much. Now we'll take this off, Tommy, because it is quite heavy. Thank you very much. Now, Anne, there is no brandy in that hamper, unfortunately. We might leave you with a song, Greg. There's lots of music happening in this nursing home.
And so I see there's two microphones in play here. Is this going to be something of a duet here? Is that what's
I told
going to
you
happen?
I was taking a back seat today.
Okay.
Geraldine and all the residents are going to. And the staff that have lingered in, you might have noticed we have one or two more staff joined the view here if you are watching us on our social media. So they might even have a wee jive or two. There's a lady standing here in a lovely Christmas uniform.
Well, now, we had some amazing jiving in St. Joseph's yesterday and some amazing hats. Now, what I will say is to the staff at the Lake House Nursing Home, they're matching St. Joseph's in terms of the headwear. They look absolutely fantastic. But it remains to be seen if we can fill that floor. No pressure. All I'm
this
saying
is... This is going to be the star of the show, Greg, here. She knows all the words.
The second verse.
Never you mind, Tommy. Okay, everybody. Dashing through the snow on one horse open sleigh. Come on. O'er the fields we go, just laughing all the way. Bells and bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse. Everybody sing, come on.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Take it away, Geraldine.
Now the ground is white.
Here we go.
Now the ground is white. Go at it while you're young. Take the girls tonight. Sing that sleighing song. Yahoo! Get a bobtail bay, 240 as its speed. Hitch it to an open sleigh and crack, you take the lead. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, what about that, Greg?
Wow, hey, Sinead, I can see why you didn't take the second verse there, because I'm not sure how many people actually know it word for word.
Take her with us tomorrow.
That was brilliant. Well, listen, I have to say now, if we can't, it's not a competition, but I'll tell you, Lake House Nursing Home, they matched St. Joseph yesterday, which are in Remelton tomorrow. So over to you, staff and residents at Remelton. That's where the tour continues tomorrow. Sinead, thank you so very much as always. Appreciate it. Tommy Rosny, as always, really, really appreciate it. And thanks so much for helping us out in this project. It's been lovely. And I have to say, I hope you realise how uplifting it is to not just listen, but to watch what's going on and see the smiles on people's faces. And to give us, as you said earlier on so well, Sinead, more of an insight as to the fantastic nursing homes that we have right across this region.
Absolutely, Greg. We're going to go now and me and Anne's going to have some brandy, tea, and we're going to keep spreading the Christmas cheer. For anybody that's listening, please do the same. Thank you very much. Take care. And we'll
all right. And listen, I will split a bottle of brandy with her, no problem whatsoever. Okay. Take care of yourselves.
See you later.
And
thanks to Joe as well, looking after us technically. Really, really appreciate that as well. Rightio, let's take a piece of music heading into the next ad. I know Caroline's probably going to give out to me, but when I hear this piece here, because we had a couple of requests for it, and this is, let me see, Deirdre McLaughlin and Callum, and this is their version of Last Christmas.
Chris Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Once bitten and twice shy, I kept my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? It's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Merry Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you, I meant it. Now I know what a fool I've been, but if you kiss me now, I know you'd fool me again. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Crowded room, friends with the tired eyes, I'm hiding from you and your soul of ice. My God, I thought you were someone to rely on. Me, I guess I was a shoulder to cry on. A face on a lover with a fire in his heart, a man undercover, but you tore me apart. Now I found a real love, you'll never fool me again. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Callum Keaveney there, and Deirdre McLaughlin in their version of Last Christmas as requested. And we've still loads to come in the next 45 minutes. Hopefully someone's going to win €1,000. We're going to be calling one of you who entered our car draw. The car's given away on Christmas Eve. Well, not Christmas Eve. It's kind of our Christmas Eve Friday. But we added on this bonus as a thank you to all of you who bought tickets. Okay, we're going to be speaking shortly to Anne Gilday. She's a founding member of comedy supergroup The Newlers and is well-known comedian and writer, of course. And we're going to be talking about, and I've been told, and this is how it's been set up, as part of Wellness Wednesday, we're going to combine fun and menopause. And some might say, well, that's easy for you to say, Greg. Well, it's not my word. Stay with us. We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after we take this quick break. Now, you have two opportunities to see a new show in On Green On Theatre on Friday the 2nd of February and Ballet Theatre Saturday the 17th. We'll tell you more about that once we get some context. Because on today's Wellness Wednesday, we thought we would combine fun and menopause. And someone said, well, that's easy for you to say. I'm just reading a script, folks. So How to Get the Menopause and Enjoy is a show by Anne Gilday. And Anne Gilday is a founding member of the comedy supergroup The Newlers and also, of course, very well-known comedian and writer in her own right. And as I say, this play coming to, or this performance coming to On Green On and the Baller. And Anne is with us now. Good morning to you, Anne. How are you getting on?
Good morning. Is my mic working?
It is loud and clear. Both loud and clear.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm a bit of a Luddite.
Well,
a tech phobe.
You're doing fantastic so far, so let's stick with it. So talk to us about this this show that's coming to Donegal. Is it possible? Of course it is, isn't it? Because you've written a show about it, to get menopause and enjoy.
Well, the essence of it being funny, I think, is that I think women at this point in life have been through so much, know a thing or two about life. And the one thing all the women I meet have is just a brilliant sense of humour and lightness about what life's about. And I think that in direct proportion to how serious things are, you can make them funny. And of course, it's a really One big thing I found funny when I started researching it was all I didn't know about my own body, about what I was going through. I thought menopause was just, oh, your period stop and you get the odd hot flush. There are so many other things that women do not realise are to do with menopause and your hormones, just eroding away.
And I think, too, to a great extent, that's been as a result probably of generations of suppressing it. Talking about it, because you just threw the word period out there as if it was nothing, right? Can you imagine 20 years ago or 25? You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes where we're at and where we're going, we have to remember too, don't we, and where we came from, where this was a secret, this was a say nothing, grin and bear it, it's in your head or it's not happening or whatever.
Do you know, funny thing, even as I said the word period, I was going, oh, what time is it? It's still morning. Yeah, I say it?
I know what you mean.
You know, and that is a thing I love about the show. I pitch it all in this kind of frame of menopause being reverse puberty. So I talk a lot about women. I'm in my 50s now, in my late 50s, and I talk about the experience of women in my generation kind of growing up and going through all that and the absolute secrecy around it. And I talk to so many women after the show and the stories are unbelievable about, you know, things happening in their body, particularly when they're young and not having a clue, and the shame and the hilarious situations you end up in.
Yeah. And we've seen shows in the past dealing with issues like mental health, Alzheimer's, many other different issues. And, you know, it's not laughing at it. But I think when there's comedy mixed in, as I mentioned on the previous shows, it helps to have the conversation and to address really quite a serious subject matter, because I'm sure there are people in the audience that go, yeah, that's me, even though it might be framed, you know, not as a, you know, and as an educational talk.
Absolutely. And there's things I mentioned that women do. The big thing is when I start talking about symptoms, like a big symptom I had was I started suddenly getting terrible vertigo. And I thought, oh, my God, I'd had breast cancer. I thought it's back. It's gone to the brain. And it totally to do with fluctuation in hormones. So many women say to me afterwards, absolutely the same experience. They're going, what the hell is wrong with me? And that is, you know, and that's the nub of the humour there, is the shared experience of it.
Yeah.
Like, I've had so many women say that in the intermission, like the chat and the ladies, everybody chatting to each other, you know, sharing their experiences. And of course, I have to say, it's a very inclusive condition. You know, you don't have to get it to suffer from it. So,
yeah, and it's funny.
It's
interesting that you referenced your cancer, because your recent memoir, I've Got Cancer, What's Your Excuse? And another thing that we've talked about a few times on this show that isn't often talked about is, you know, oh, I've got the all clear, or whatever way you want to phrase it, is the fear and anxiety of it returning, just as you described. And I know with my sister as well, unfortunately, that is what happened. But it's not often talked about. It's like, right, woman, you're better now. Crack on with everything you were doing before. We don't often talk about sort of the trauma that can follow, or the anxiety. You know, it's a particular condition to be worrying about that. You know, so it's great that we're talking about these things a bit more now, I think, Anne.
Yeah, I always remember when I was going through cancer, a woman saying to me that we had an absolutely brilliant oncologist, but he was, you know, he didn't mince his words. And she went into him at the end of her treatment and he said, that's it, you're finished now. And she went, no more scans, no more checkups. And he went, no, that's it. We're happy that, you know, you're OK. And she went, but how will I know that I'm completely cancer free? And he said, when you die is something else.
OK.
Which I love.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it depends on who heard it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. Yeah. But it also comes to this ultimate thing of the great irony of life is that the one inevitable thing is that we're all going to die at the end of the day. I just thought, oh, was it just a brilliant encapsulation of the whole overwhelming thing of going through cancer? Because, of course, you're meeting with your mortality, and it makes you think about that.
Can I ask just in terms of, not exclusively, but to a great extent, maybe, you know, particularly with your memoir, particularly with this work that you're touring with now, you know, reflecting on and using your own experiences, because it kind of, you know, it's kind of, people might want to compartmentalize or move on or do that, but you're using it as part of your work as well, and it motivates the conversation and what have you. Is that a tough thing for you, or is it perfectly natural for you, or does it make it more difficult for you? Because I'm thinking of a comedian in Britain, John Robbins is an excellent young comedian, but his shows are written based on his struggles with his mental health and his social anxiety and stuff like that there. And reading an interview with him, he found it really quite difficult, but it's the only way he could do it. What's that your journey like in using your personal experiences?
Well, when it came to the cancer, I found I was lucky. The way that I got through it was I had a column at the time, and I just wrote about it, and it just turned into a bit of an industry because I wrote a column, then I did a radio interview, then I got an offer to do a documentary, and then I got a book deal. And at the time, this is like 12 years ago, there wasn't the same information out there. I think now with social media, people know, oh, this is what chemo ward looks like. This is what you're going to go through. I felt really in the dark about what I was facing into. Now it's a more open time. So my way of getting through it, and also to share the information with other women about to enter into it, was to just process it through talking about it. So it really helped me personally in that way. And then I felt I just got over it. So I do mention it slightly in this current show. I talk about it in terms of amusing stuff around getting a reconstruction. And I think with the menopause, I was really tentative about going into that topic because I had this thing that most people have, oh, can you talk about that? Oh, that word, menopause. And it was actually my partner who I work with said to me, you really should pitch your whole show around the concept of menopause. And I knew there was a show there when I started researching it. And like I said, realized all I did not know. And I knew that if I spun this in a really funny way, that would really engage the audience because they would be coming on the journey with me going, yeah, I don't know. I never heard that either. Mm. You know, I didn't know about that. And it's not just the mystery around it. It's that how important it is for women's long-term health. Like 1 in 4 Irish women would die of heart disease or stroke. We get twice the rate of dementia men get, and we get 4 times the rate of osteoporosis. And those 3 things in particular related to your brains, your bones, and your heart are correlated to the fall in estrogen that happens during the menopause. And it's facts like that that I actually went on HRT as I was researching, and I would have been in a kind of postmenopausal phase by then because of my cancer treatment. But I realized long-term health was a really important mm-hmm. part of the piece. Mm-hmm. And I did not have a clue about that. And it's just, I find great comedy there then in.
Yeah, for sure. But also, though, it is really important that sometimes some people, I'm sure the people at the shows will hear this, because also what we've, that will hear it and maybe go and get help or whatever might be required, because also, too, we know women have other things that they put down to the menopause and don't go and get checked out, which is another serious issue as well. And we're not all the way there. I mean, we can talk about it now, which is grand, and there's some great work that's been done over in Britain, I think Davina McCall, and over here as well. But we're not all the way there yet. You know what I mean? There has to be action on the back of a lot of these words as well. This is half of our population.
There's 51% of the population. And the stories I hear from women who go, I went into my doctor and I said, I want to have conversation about menopause. One lady said, her doctor said, well, I wouldn't really know about that because that's lady stuff. That's a doctor. Okay. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And another said, you know, you don't want HRT for vanity reasons. Okay. I think it's maybe he was thinking, oh, it keeps your hair, I want my hair and my skin to look good. I think I'll go on HRT. Yeah,
for the crack. Safe on the Botox things. or the Botox. I know it's crazy, isn't it?
Well, here's a big thing for me. That osteoporosis piece is related to the fact that as your estrogen falls, it can really contribute to the loss of bone density. Mm-hmm. And do you ever notice some women really shrink as they get older? Like I talk about it in the show, my mum, I say she used to be the same height as me and now she's the size of a coffee table. All my aunties were like, they're all big, tall women. And now when there's a family get-together, it's like a gnome convention. Everybody shrunk. And, you know, I joke about this, but it is actually true. That is one of the reasons I went on HRT. I thought, I don't want to turn into little gnome lady.
You didn't want to join the coffee table club. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure if you've done... I know you're doing a run in the new year if this show... If you've done the show previously, pardon my ignorance, Anne.
So I started the show on Valentine's Day in 2022.
Oh, good. Well, that sets up the next question perfectly then. So what's the demographic of the audience? Is it seen as a women's day audience out where moms and grannies go with the daughters? Is there fellas in there? Tell us.
There are fellas in there, and I've had some fellas actually book and bring their wives along. And then I've got women who bring their husbands along. And then what I absolutely love is that I get mums going through menopause, bring their daughters, and bring their... There's an awful lot of older women come. I've had a woman who came, and it was her 90th birthday. That's the oldest person that I've had in the audience. And the experiences they share are just phenomenal about, you know, going into the shop and how the STs, the sanitary towels, would be wrapped up in newspaper and handed over. And they love it. They love, you know, I've had old women hold my hand and go, "You just described my life." Like, really... It's really moving, having the cross-generational thing.
Yeah.
So also, it's mainly female, of course, but I'd love more men to come, because I'd love to see a show like this about men, because it is the secret life of women. Mm. It's all the secret stuff about women that you think everything's out in the world because we've got social media and everybody's talking about everything. But this is really things that haven't been talked about before, you know?
That's okay. Well, people have two opportunities to see the show in Ongreon on Theatre on Friday the 2nd of February at 8 p.m. It's also in the Bala Theatre Saturday the 7th of February at 8 p.m. Two brilliant venues as well.
I've played at the Bala Theatre already. It's such a beautiful town.
Yeah, performers say that, yeah. About the theatre and the town, of course.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And then Letterkenny, I've been there with the new list loads of times, but I haven't been there with this show, so I'm really looking forward to going to Letterkenny. And I think that my name, Gildy, comes from that area. I just it noticed is. There's loads a of Gildys on the shops.
A lot of them around. Okay, and also to your memoir, I've Got Cancer, What's Your Excuse? That was... An inspiration for The Bright Side. I think it was in the cinemas. It's on Amazon at the moment, just in case people are looking for something to watch. Is The Bright Side a direct sort of visual reproduction of your memoir, or what's the story?
The girl who made totally forgotten the name of the tractor. That's totally menopause.
And you can't blame it for everything.
I forgot we were doing this interview till I got a call this morning saying, "We're just running a bit late." I went,
"This
is what I went." I went, "Oh, okay, fine." And then I went, "Hey, for what?" Oh, shit. That's why I was going, "Is my mic on?" And that's why I was going to set up a nice background. But look, you're in a mess. I did this.
I saw you do that. I thought, has she got one of those fancy cameras that follows your face around?
Yes, I wanted to make it look like I'm in the Caribbean going, "I'm on a break. Oh, the show's doing so well. Look at the mansion I'm living in. Look at the lifestyle." He sent me coats on the back of the door.
Can I just say something about coat hangers? This has got nothing to do with anything, but what I've realised, I'm throwing out the shoe rack and the thing you hang coats on. Maybe I've got menopause now, I can't think of what that's called, the coat rack, throwing them out, especially with young people in the house. They just become an absolute magnet for every crappy shoe, coat, jumper, scarf, slip-ons, Crocs, everything. All of the bedrooms have been emptied out and all of the crap is dumped around about the shoe stand and the coat hanger. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I get those for, you know, I got the ones you hang on the back of the door, and they're so handy. But hoodies, Mine are just full of hoodies.
But yeah, it's nice because you find a jacket hidden under seven others that you didn't even realise you have. And it's like, whoa, it's Christmas all year round.
Yeah, I've ties, I've belts, I've bags, I've scarves, I've hoodies. And you're going, what season is it? I've four seasons.
You've got to take a coat off one day and your other half's going to be in under there going, how long have you left me here for? come here. We look forward to welcoming you up to Donegal again in February. You can check out the box office on Green on Theatre for the 2nd of February show, the Bala Theatre, Saturday the 7th of February. And I'm talking to some lads out there and lassies as well. You're wondering what to get someone for Christmas. Well, you've heard Anne there. It sounds like it would be a great show, especially if you say, I'm going along as well, because I want a bit of crack and a bit of understanding in it as well. So it's a perfect timing, perfectly timed interview, even if we both half forgot about it. Anne, it's been lovely chatting to you.
A brilliant chat to you. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and to all your listeners too. Hope you have a really fabulous time. And I'm so looking forward to being up there.
And delighted to hear you doing so well and everything's going so well for you. Thank you so very much indeed.
Thank you.
Bye.
Business Matters in association with Atlantic Technological University, Donegal. Study for a Doctorate of Business Administration and obtain the highest level management qualification available. Visit atu.ie/DBA.
All right, we are previewing the Business Matters podcast from us here at Highland Radio, and its presenter is Chris Ashmore. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
I mean, some breaking news just before we come on air as it relates to wind generation, Chris. I mean, you know, left that to the last second. We talked about this last week. We effectively were meeting over four-fifths of our needs in the middle of the night. Amazing.
Yes, just checked. 82% of Ireland's wind, or of Ireland's electricity, came from wind at half past midnight last night.
It was windy.
You may have noticed, it was windy.
It was very. Now, I didn't really see it forecast, but I'll tell you, the roof nearly, well, not literally, but the roof nearly come off. Anyway, listen, come here. Happy Christmas, Chris.
You too.
Let's start with some news, some general chit-chat. Donegal Investment Group PLC, they've released their figures.
Yes, the Letterkenny-based agricultural firm has released its figures. Now, these are up to the end of August of this year, which is the latest accounting period. Their revenue was up 18% and they had a pre-tax profit of 1.4 million compared to a loss of 0.2 million for the corresponding period the year before. So that's good news. The seed potato business is the mainstay of their business. They also have a property portfolio. So good to see profits rising there. So that's good news to start the business brief switch.
For sure. The CSO has released its census 2022 profile 7. Now, they stagger the release of these. It's what they choose to do. But anyway, you've been looking at the numbers and it's thrown up some interesting figures for us here.
Indeed. Now, this relates to people's employment and occupations and commuting. And so this is applying to last April when the census was done. And there were 67,900 people working here in Donegal. We had 25,900 retired people. Now, that was up 16%, so that's has implications for the whole economy. A 17% increase in the number of people who were unable to work due to permanent sickness or disability. And we had, in full-time employment in Donegal, nearly 48,000 people full-time, 13,700 were working part-time. And a new question in the 2022 census was asking people about whether they worked from home. And of the 67,900 people working in Donegal, as of April 2022, 15,300 work from home at least some of the time. So, you know,
it's quite a considerable number, I think.
Yeah, about maybe a quarter or so.
We tend to trend with a slightly higher unemployment rate than the rest of the country. And I wonder, is that down to job opportunities or demographics such as a higher level of people long-term unavailable for work because of sickness or disability? But it's interesting.
All sorts of factors,
it's really interesting. That's a lot of people. All right. Also, a mixture of stories on the planning front, Chris, that you're going to bring us here now.
Yeah, in Killybegs, plans for new passenger berth facilities for ships and a new small craft small craft berths in the harbour, so that's more investment in Killybeg, so that's good to see. Meanwhile, the Department of Education has revealed plans for an extension at the Educate Together School in Letterkenny. Planning permission there for an extension with more classrooms, library staff rooms. So all this construction work, obviously a spin-off there in terms of employment. 34 new houses planned for the Coolcolly area of Ballyshannon. McHugh Brothers seeking planning approval for that development there.
It'll be interesting to see how these various sort of housing planning applications, how they move through the planning process and on to construction, Chris.
Absolutely. Now, some of the plans can go through in as little as 6, 7, 8 weeks, then subject to there being no objections, you know, they can get underway. But as you say, watch this space. We'll see how quickly they develop.
Now, the Donegal County Council published its gender pay gap report. And I wonder, did it throw up some stats that maybe surprise some people?
Yes, the 2023 report shows a gender pay gap in Donegal County Council of minus 3.63%. So what does that mean? Well, this figure, it doesn't mean that males are paid less than females for doing the same job, but it does indicate that on average, females occupy higher paid roles than males in Donegal County Council. So that's interesting. And it's part of legislation. Any employer with more than 250 employees must publish its gender pay gap data each year now.
Okay, right. I mean, it's a familiar message, but it's an important one, especially for the last minute shoppers out there. There are effectively, I was going to say there's one shopping day left for men, but I don't want to do that now.
Half because day.
It's 2023 and you can't say things like that now, or you might, Chris, get cancelled. So fellas are equally as good at buying presents as women, but be that as it may, buy them local.
Buy it local.
Am I covered? I think I'm all right there. Get cancelled.
Yeah, the Independent Business Association for Small and Medium Businesses, ISME, they're just making a last-ditch call on people to support their local communities by buying locally, and they've carried out research. So every euro that you spend on goods that are locally sourced, up to €4 of additional wealth is generated in the community. So effectively how it works is that, look, if you spend your money locally, that means people are being employed locally, they get their wages, they spend the money locally, and then it all goes round and round.
Yeah, for sure. And as I say, and I've said before, and I will repeat myself, because I'm sort of getting to the age now where I think that's okay. You know, it is these local shops that are the ones that employ your sons and daughters or grandchildren, but also they're there when the, you know, when we hear about raffles and prizes and stuff, it's these guys, and I use that right across the gender, that it's they that put the hands in the pockets to support local. Right, on to the podcast, which is available today. Who's on?
This week, we are focusing on Ryan Allen, who's the founding director of Irish Gap Year. Now, the Irish Gap Year, this is a company set up in Bundoran, employs 13 people, and recently won an export award at the Donegal Enterprise Awards. So essentially what they do is they bring young people, mainly from America, over to Donegal and Ireland. They do... This is after they've finished second level education, before they go into third level education, and they do everything from arts and crafts to climbing Errigal, immerse themselves in Irish culture, and gives them just a different outlook on life. And not only are they doing that here in Donegal, but he has also branched the company. They're bringing people over now and bringing them from Norway down through Denmark and Germany, Croatia, and organising. It's usually a 3-month stay. And he's really, it's an interesting business, and certainly it's going very well.
All right, let's hear from him now.
What we do is we provide structured group programs for young people that want to get out into the world and explore, learn about themselves, learn about the world, particularly things that mightn't be taught in school, or that they might not have the luxury of studying in university as a career path. For example, art. We run art programs, outdoors, nature, leadership, adventure. We have programs in that area. So really what this is it's a time for young people between, before university, you know, 18, 19, to go off with a group of like-minded people and develop as, you know, young adults through these different things. And the way I often put it to our students and their families is that, you know, be it the outdoors or, you know, our arts program or our backpacking program, you know, the destination is growing as a person. So a more resilient, confident version of yourself is you're taking young people and you're bringing them for 3 months on this journey. And then at the end, you're returning them to your parents like a more complete version of themselves, basically.
Yeah, plenty of room for growth there. Okay, Ryan Allen, founding director of Irish Gap Year, is Chris Ashmore's guest on Business Matters podcast this week. The podcast available for you right now on our website, highlandradio.com, where you can stream it there or indeed download it to listen at your leisure, and lots of previous episodes there as well. And also, of course, Chris on air after the 6 o'clock news on Christmas Eve, is it?
That's correct,
that's
yes.
The plan
driving
so far,
home for yeah. Christmas.
And that's a break now until the New Year, isn't
no,
it?
No, we have one on New Year's
oh,
Eve
do
as
you?
Well.
Well
yeah.
done, Chris.
Never
All
stop.
Right, great stuff,
Never
one
stop.
In the bag. All right, brilliant, Chris. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you helping us to preview the podcast, but also keep us up to date on the business news across the region and beyond as well. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Greg.
All righty-o, we'll be back with more. In fact, not only just more, hopefully we'll be back with less, because I'm looking to offload €1,000. We are going to be drawing a ticket from our Trombola during this break. We're hoping to ring someone. If they answer the phone, they win €1,000 for Christmas. It's as simple as that. We're all local here, so you can just come and pick it up. That's coming up after the break, so stay right where you are. And if you have bought a ticket, please keep your phone close to you. If it's not won, it'll be rolled over to later in the day. But listen, let's hopefully give it away now in the next 11 minutes. Right, now it is time for us to hopefully give away €1,000. This is part of our big car draw, and we're going to see now, hopefully, if this person answers the call in the designated rings. And that is it. No answer, I am afraid. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to give away the €1,000 on this show. But look, there'll be another opportunity to win that €1,000 later in the day. And let me just say, by the way, of course, that this is a bonus on top of the car draw. The car draw is what you bought your tickets for. And what we've decided to do as part of this process is just to put another layer on top. And of course, it's a disappointment if you miss the call, but this is about the car draw. And this is just a thank you bonus. Unfortunately from my perspective, it's going to be fortunate for someone later in today. We're going to try that again. And hopefully that person answers. If not, it rolls over tomorrow again, where there'll be €2,000 up for grabs. It all wraps up on Friday, by the way. Who's to say we might give away €3,000 and a car on Friday? But we're definitely giving away a beautiful car worth over €30,000. And it could well be to the person who just didn't answer that call, because that number has gone into the Trombola once again. It's all been mixed around, and they could well win. Odds probably narrow, but you know what I mean. Anne's a good tonic. Pity she couldn't bottle it. Just what we need nowadays. Love her. That comes in from Amy in Carndonagh. Indeed. Great show from the Lake House. Nice for the residents to have Highland Radio there. Tell Tommy that if he looks around the place that he might get the pair of socks that he was looking for. Okay, I'll pass that on. Christmas greetings to Seamus McIntyre, Mary Doherty, Joe McGee and all the residents of the Lake House from Dunmore Listener. More than happy to do that for you. I just want to mention this actually. Maybe you can do a Christmas favour for someone. A lady's green rimmed glasses were lost on Tuesday around 1 o'clock between Scally Place and Rosemont Lane in Letterkenny. They're quite distinctive, I'd imagine. So it's a set of lady's green rimmed glasses. If you happen to be around Scally Place, Rosemont, and picked them up and left them somewhere or took them home, please let us know. It's probably a long shot, but fingers crossed that we can get them returned to that person. Good morning, Greg, and a very Merry Christmas to you and Aisling, and of course Hudson and all the presenters, management and behind the scenes at Highland Radio from Clonmany. Gang, be nice to see Tommy and Sinead visit Clonmany Centre, St. Colum Kills. I think our schedule's been laid out for us now. We are in tomorrow, did you say, Caroline Remelton? Where are we tomorrow? Remelton, I think you mentioned Remelton, yeah? Good morning, Greg. Yeah, I've noticed the very bright lights on some cars recently, and I know that you can get really bright bulbs to put on any car now. And in relation to indicating, it is a really big problem. Some people are turning left on the main road, brakes slow down, but don't indicate until they've actually started running off the road. And indeed, some people don't indicate at all. And on it goes. We'll carry those comments over until tomorrow. Thank you so much. We have another show tomorrow. We're out and about tomorrow. We're going to be talking to some amazing organisations. It's going to be a really interesting show. So hopefully you can join us. We're going to hook in with that. I haven't figured out technically how we're going to do that yet. But sure, listen, it'll be fun trying. I'm sure we'll manage it. We're pushing envelopes here every time we do something. So it'll all work out. So thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced. Thanks to Shannon, producing the show as well, working on our social media. Really appreciate it. Shannon Wilkin. I'm only joking, Shannon. Thank you very much indeed. I can't mention the coffee because then it makes out as if you just bring me coffee, which is, it's much more than that. So it's great to have Sharon Wilkins back with Caroline. We're all going to be back with you tomorrow morning from 9. Stay tuned. John Breslin's up around the Northwest after the news.